I'm still a little raspy in the voice. I had the occasion on Wednesday night to give it all I had to try to root for Cleveland to score one more run. Just one. Give us another extra inning. I'm not a Cubs hater, don't get me wrong. Darn it, I wanted Cleveland to win. And the voice isn't quite there yet. Because there were a lot of Cubs fans there. Oh, I didn't tell you, I got to be at the game. Isn't that cool? My brother called me at 2:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday. He said, you want to come and join me for the game? I thought about it for a millisecond and said, okay. I'm still paying a price for that. We did our best to root them on, but it didn't work. When we profess the faith, in the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world to come. I'm so glad you know that. Yeah, the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. I've said that so many times. And I don't know if I've really slowed down to kind of think about it because it's at the end of the creed and I'm kind of thinking about that amen at the end of it maybe sometimes. That we profess this to be true, that a defining feature of what it is to be an intentional disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and a member of his church is to hold to the truth that the body, that's your body and my body, that it will be resurrected and that we will experience this life of the world to come. In other words, that this isn't all that there is. So even if you're a Cubs fan, it can even be better than how it is right now. In this story, there are these groups, there's this group of people called the Sadducees. Sadducees. And they're part of the religious group who are involved with the ritual in the temple. And they don't believe that there's anything more to life, that this is it. They don't believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. They believe that this is it, so get it now. In fact, Luke even tells us that's what they believe. That's kind of nice. If we didn't know that, it's important that we do a search, right? Siri, Google Now. But we'd want to do a search and say, well, who are the Sadducees? Because if we don't know who they are, this doesn't make sense at all. So they're this group that doesn't believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. So their question to Jesus is totally ridiculous. It's stupid. But you know, when I come across people who don't have faith, the questions aren't really questions sometimes. They're pushing their disbelief on me with sometimes ridiculous constructs. If God can do all things, why doesn't he take a triangle and turn it into a circle? To which I want to say, why don't you just get a life? I mean, really? This is silly. This is just absurd, you know? And sometimes we run up against that. We just run up against that. But what does Jesus say to it? He's more charitable than I would be, right? He responds to it directly and talks about the reality of the resurrection. That this is true. This is absolutely, totally true. That there is a life to come beyond this one. That even in our very best moments, it exceeds anything that we can imagine. So he says, there's no analogy that begins to describe heaven. Well, we can only point towards it. I was thinking in thinking about eternal life and thinking about resurrection of the body And thinking about an experience that maybe I've had of something that was totally different. Because what Jesus says is the resurrection isn't like it is now, only better. No, he says it's totally different. That the way that we interact and the way that we think now, it'll be vastly different. Vastly different. Don't try to figure it all out now. Just live in anticipation for the fullness of life and eternal life now. Because that's going to help us make better choices now. Anybody ever go diving, like deep sea diving? Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever do that? You ever hear of that? Okay. I did it one time. I had no business doing this, by the way. You're supposed to be like certified and trained, and I go down 50 feet in the ocean. It's kind of crazy, really, I think back on it. But then, you know, you already know you don't have to be smart to be a priest. I've demonstrated that to you a lot of times. And but you're on the water, and then when you go under the water, and then when you go down to the, in this case, you know, where I was at the bottom of where we were diving at the ocean floor and the coral reef, you have no idea what that really is like until you're down there. You can look at pictures. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot different when that fish that's about as big as you swims by you. There's no picture from the National Geographic that kind of captures that, or Smithsonian. And the colors, just, man, I only had 16 crayons in my Crayola box. But even a 64 box, I mean, it doesn't even begin to... like capture the vivid. So I was just thinking of an experience that even trying to imagine what that would be like, I couldn't even begin to really understand that fullness of life that was underneath the water until I got there. And then even when I try to describe it, it falls so short. The resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come is a totally transformative reality. There won't be any feeling bad about being there. And Jesus goes out of his way to emphasize to that a transformation in our core. And that then he cites this Moses and Old Testament figures who, from a worldly point of view, are dead. But from the divine point of view, they're alive. And that's what Jesus says, because he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And in a day and an age, in a world that just so reduces reality to what we see and touch and feel and smell and hear, and that's it. Boy, how boring is that, huh? What do you do with beauty? What do you do with love? What do you do with truth? I mean, even for the non-believers, these are realities that they have. You know? It's a lot more than molecules kind of dancing around. Right? I want you to cling to that truth that we profess. Belief in the resurrection of the body and in the life of the world to come. And to try to live every day with that in mind. Because we want our decisions here to be leading us closer to the fullness of life for which we've been made. Young church, he is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. And he wishes to give to you his very fullness of life, to taste it now and to forever savor it. Let's stand together.